Casting Crowns on WWIB. How about Let God Love You? That is a theme of the early part of the WIB Wake Up Show for sure. And we try to emphasize. And something in our dialogue with Jason Cans, our friend from jasoncans.com and from Eau Claire, where he talks to us weekday mornings. Good morning. Well, we didn't float away from the Tropical Depression, I guess, huh?
No, in fact, by the time I went to bed, it didn't seem like we had much rain at all.
It kind of whimpered. It kind of whimpered, and so it is what it is in that regard. So I've not seen official numbers on that. We'll try to pass it along as that becomes available this morning. I have to try to think of, help me out here. We're about 2 days. This is the third day into the Black History moment, maybe I call this. I don't know. We're trying to do our part in terms of raising awareness and appreciation. June 10th in history, Richard Allen founded the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia in 1794. And Hattie McDaniel, the first Black person ever to win an Oscar, Best Supporting Actress for Gone with the Wind in 1940. So how about that?
Wow, that's longer ago than I might have expected. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, tell you what, people get informed when they check out the best 5 minutes of the day. And I saw a Facebook post from you, young man, about 12 hours ago. You going to share that with us this morning or give us what, well, as best you can, describe what motivated you and then share your post, if you would.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, I talked about kind of this importance
yesterday.
Doing inner work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of looking on our own hearts and seeing where we're at. And, you know, as I've been watching what's going on in social media, I think I've had some discouragement just with not only the infighting, which I think we've all been noticing, but what is a seeming lack of awareness that many of us possess. And so I wrote this. I wrote, one thing seems obvious in this cultural moment. Many of us have substantial difficulty acknowledging that there might be anything negative within us, racism, sexism, judgmentalism, a sense of superiority, you name it. Rather than listening to others and asking honest questions of the state of our own hearts, our inflated egos simply insist that everything is okay, and it is. And in those places where there is something wrong, it must mean somebody else is to blame. There's a rare neurological condition called Anton syndrome, where a person is blind, but they adamantly deny that they are. Sadly, it seems as though we have a cultural Anton syndrome right now. If we continue to pretend that we are A-OK and deny our biases, people are going to continue to be harmed.
Hmm. Yeah. So what was the reaction to that?
You know, I think it stirred some people. You know, a friend of mine said she was struggling to put into words and said this is definitely a part of it. Another friend of mine said, I'd like to say amen, but you're talking about me as much as anyone else. And I said, that's exactly the point. You know, I think we each have to kind of take a look at what's going on in our own hearts. And if we deny that there's anything wrong, as I tried to make clear, we're going to continue missing the boat. It's hard work, I think, to take that inner look. But I think in order to continue to grow in love, we have to do so.
Yeah. This was my response to what you said, and I was the first, I think, to post it. Yep. I said, I think you're in great company and encouraging us to begin by bravely taking an inside look. Chesterton said he himself was the biggest problem in the world, right? Famous newspaper question. What's the biggest problem in the world? He writes in, I am. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief among sinners. And while Jesus was sinless, he called us to first take the log out of our eye before removing the speck from our neighbor's eye. So.
But that's so hard, right? I mean, it's so easy. You know, our eyes, as God created them, are focused outward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we look and we see stuff wrong all around us. And it takes intentional effort to stop and say, okay, but can I echo Paul? Can I echo Chesterton and say, I bring my own biases, my own sinfulness to how I look at the world.
Yeah.
And I think we have to start there.
And I think there's a lot of biblical encouragement, too. Now, again, just to say, in terms of, that doesn't mean we're all going to come down in the same, I think there's a great spectrum on a variety of issues, be it political or social or spiritual, And we may have, you know, different shades of gray between the black and the white. And I don't mean by dealing with racial issues when I say that.
Right.
But having said that, I think it always is deal with you. You know, Jesus said it. I didn't say take the log out of your eye first. I wouldn't have been brilliant enough to say that. He said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, and if you haven't read that chapter lately, please do, the seven woes as he's lighting them up. And he said, clean the inside of the cup and dish first, and then the inside and the outside will both be clean. And he did say in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in Luke 17, he tells us where the kingdom of heaven is. And Jason, he says it's within us.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading in Acts yesterday, and there was a part where it was talking about one of the people in the new church, and it was describing this person as a Pharisee. And I think that was the first time it had clicked for me that there were people who still followed the Pharisaic tradition who also considered themselves believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what does that say about us today?
The John Fisher book. We love to give book recommendations in our time together. John Fisher, 12 Steps for the Recovering Pharisee Like Me. Step number one is the only one I remember, which is dealing with our judgmentalism. Jason, thank you, friend. Now, as often as we say that we do birthday wake-up calls, I've got to say that, you know, listener participation, not real great on this. In fact, the ones we carry out are typically ones that people I know that are having a birthday, as is the case today, because I know his cell phone number by heart. And Birthday Bob Lindner has a birthday today in Rice Lake. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you on this birthday?
I'm doing well. Even though the weather's not that great, I am feeling uplifted.
Well, I tell you what, I've got I got an email from your daughter in Chicago this morning about your birthday. Yeah. Here's what it says. Your daughter, you know, got Cecily's in the Twin Cities, right?
Yep.
But Faith in Chicago says, hey, Halvo, on behalf of the entire Lindner clan, we want to wish our birthday Bob the happiest 29th birthday.
Wow.
Now, see, apparently I'm off on your age. I thought you were a little older than that. But, you know, she would know. She's your daughter.
She should.
She says this, we just love our number one cheesehead and are celebrating his huge heart, great humor, and the way that he continually points our family toward Jesus. Mm. Warmest birthday wishes from the Windy City, Minneapolis, and beyond. So how about that?
Wow. That made my day.
We put tears in your eyes right before you had breakfast, I think.
No kidding.
Put tears in my eyes, for sure. So.
Oh.
You are good at remembering other people's birthdays. How did you develop that, or what's with that about you?
I think he just put that on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, my mom used to just make the most of our birthdays, and we had 10 kids, so there were a lot of birthdays in the Lindner household. But I love to celebrate people's birthdays. It's a special day.
Absolutely, and I've got to say, you've been a blessing to our family. Unbelievably over the years in that way, and I appreciate that. So what do you got planned for your birthday today?
Well, we're actually tomorrow we're heading on a little venture up north to our cabin, and that's kind of be our birthday. But today is just going to take the day in. I got to work, and looking forward to being with my wife the next several days together. So that's really it.
That's right. Your wonderful wife, Brenda. And so what's your secret? How do you stay 29 every year? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I have to think about this.
Usually when somebody gets a little older, I would have thought maybe 39, but Faith was ambitious with 29. Well, tell you what, we have a special birthday greeting just for you, Bob. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy birthday to all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy birthday, and all your dreams are true.
It's your birthday.
How about that, huh?
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. You made my day.
Our pleasure. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, brother.
And someday we will get to the Packer Hall of Fame together, okay?
We definitely will.
It's got to be this summer.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob. Love you. Hillary, good morning.
Good morning.
You met a dog yesterday, a dog named Donut.
I met Dona, the police dog, yesterday.
In Altoona.
And he is wonderful. A fluffy dog with floppy ears. I think he might be a golden doodle. I really don't know.
Okay.
But he's a very good boy. And he is their canine. And he's there as a like a support dog.
Yeah, that's
you
great.
Know, and he's a wonderful boy. And I loved him. And he gave me many kisses.
Hmm.
He was fluffy.
Is that possible?
Cute.
Police reform is we could have like the police could be associated with friendly dogs. Maybe that's a way to build the bridges. I don't know.
I mean,
just throwing out ideas.
That's definitely one of the reasons that we have the kind of dog that we do is to build bridges with community members and to be a comforting presence to community members. And that's what community policing is all about. So
once again, Altoona leading the way.
Always. No. I'm very, very proud of Altoona. I really, really am. And very, very proud of all of our officers and grateful for them. And the newest member, Donut, is probably my favorite. Sorry, guys and gals, all of you out there. Donut has won my heart.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's so fluffy and cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's a very good boy.
All right. It is a new day. It is Wednesday, June the 10th. And so we've only got a few special events today. It is the Alcoholic Anonymous Founders Day today.
Wow. Changing a lot of lives there. Mm-hmm. Egg Roll Day. Do love me some egg rolls. Mm.
They are good. And iced tea day.
Delicious.
There we go.
I like mine with some lemonade mixed in there.
Very good. We'll see you after 7.
Yep.
64 degrees a Wednesday morning. The three amigos together here, the WIB Wake Up Show. And we all seemingly had trouble sleeping. I'll go first. Went to bed late last night, and then after 2 in the morning, heard the dog barking, Athena. And so I didn't know if she was inside or she'd gotten outside. So went back to bed for a little while, but didn't sleep that well. Kind of hard time getting. How about you guys?
Well, I was just like dogging it last night. I fell asleep on the couch at like 8:30, 8:45. And by 9:15, I drug myself off to bed and I was out. The dog barked at 1. And I was waiting for Alyssa to get up because, you know, like she doesn't have a job and she's not going to school. So, made her get up and let the dog out. But mm-hmm. I slept, man. I'm still tired, though.
Mm-hmm. Right after the kids went to bed, I had a little maybe 20, 30 minute power nap. And I'm the dad who just falls asleep on the couch. But somehow this power nap energized me. And it went from 10:30 to 2:30 in the morning really, really quick. So thanks, Netflix. Could have slept a little better.
Yeah.
All right, Caleb, tell us the story here.
A tradition, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
I expected it to be like the Masters, a tradition like no other. But
this really is like no other.
Yeah.
So I had never heard of this, despite the fact that it's been around for 104 years. But in Lake Geneva, the mail arrives by boat, at least sometimes, and there are tryouts right now. In fact... tryouts tomorrow for high school and college students to earn one of 6 coveted mailboat jumper jobs for the summer season. This tradition began in 1916 and continues today. Teenagers jump from the U.S. mailboat Walworth to piers to run to mailboxes and back on the boat before it pulls away.
Yeah, the boat keeps like slowly moving.
At five miles per hour, it keeps on going and does not stop. So they hold tryouts right now. Potential jumpers test their athletic abilities. They often end up in the lake.
Yes.
Wow.
Only 6. I'd say survive. They're all fine.
Yes.
Some of them get wet.
Make the cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That
super
seems
fun.
Like a danger both to the kids and the mail, but it's a tradition, so it must be okay.
So just to get this clear, they get onto the pier, they go deliver the mail. Like how long do they have?
Well, a boat moving 5 miles per hour, depending on how long the mailboat is.
It's pretty quick, actually. It's like kind of like run, hop, mm-hmm. run, okay. hop. You know, it's kind of on and off. It's pretty cool.
This sounded like a story problem in math, right? Yeah. It sounded, remember
if
those?
The boat is moving at five miles per hour and the runner is moving at this one, how long will she have to deliver the mail?
Here's the thing. 33-year-old Caleb is like, no.
No.
I would hurt something.
But
yes.
16, 17, 18-year-old Caleb would have been challenge accepted. Absolutely, yes. I will do this.
There you go. We changed.
Super fun.
Absolutely. Well, yesterday, Hillary, you were telling us a story off the air, and it's just so good we've got to get it here on WWIB because it ties in with something we were discussing like last Friday.
Friday,
right?
Yes, yeah. Friday. So should we start with Friday?
Yeah, we can.
Let's go back to last Friday. And Caleb didn't get to hear this.
No,
so,
he didn't.
Yes.
Right,
so we're
going to
Tarantino this thing.
All.
Let's go
yes.
back. Let's go
Let's
back.
Go back.
Let me ask. I'm going to dare to go there. I'm going to dare to go where angels fear to tread.
No, go ahead.
women and their weight.
What about it?
Like, what advice do you have for husbands?
Be the cheerleader, not the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Be the cheerleader, not the coach. My husband in years past has tried to, like, be the coach. When I've said, okay, I'm going to, like, you know, try to lose weight, he tries to be the coach. Nah, uh-uh, no.
Well, remember
I want the cheerleader.
Remember that ad that was pre-COVID in terms of the...
Yes.
And he was more the coach, right?
Be the cheerleader. And he'd even say, well, the cheerleader has their back to the game. They don't. I don't care. You don't need to. You just be the cheerleader.
Should
just say, way to go,
Ben. Ever suggest?
No.
You didn't need to.
So, I mean, I've said this to my husband so many times. Cheerleader, not coach. Cheerleader, not coach. So the other night, we're at home, and it was just kind of one of those random nights. People are kind of grazing for dinner, eating leftovers, whatever, figure it out. And I said, I think, you know, I just want some, like, baked beans for dinner. Because I'm thinking high protein, high fiber.
Okay.
You know, baked beans, I like the flavor. So is it perfect? No. But is it better than many options out there? Yes. I want baked beans for dinner. I'm just going to open up a can, heat them up. We're good. He says, well, what about, like, just some black beans or something? I said, no, I don't want black beans. I don't want to eat a bowl of black beans. Are you kidding me? He's like, well, let me go downstairs and see what I can find for you. I'm thinking he's, oh, okay, whatever. He's just, I'm busy doing other things. He's going to be helpful. So he goes downstairs and he hollers up, well, what about chili beans? Well, I'm not going to eat a can of chili beans. I just want baked beans. Well, what about black beans? What about kidney beans? I'm like, I just want a can of beans. And then he starts, but baked beans are high in sugar and there's better choices and blah, blah, blah. And by this point, I had grabbed a big old thing of unhealthy cheese because it was like a flavored cheese out of the fridge. And I'm doling that out and eating it by the block.
It's at least keto approved.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And finally, I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. I don't want beans anymore. I'm having cheese for dinner. So
look what you've
there
done.
There it is. And then I was irritated. So I finished with a bowl of ice cream and hot caramel sauce. But I didn't have enough caramel on my ice cream. I ate a whole spoonful of just the caramel. Don't be the coach. I just wanted to eat baked beans. And instead, I ate cheese, ice cream, and caramel.
I picture you eating the ice cream like right in front of him going,
yes!
I'm here.
That's good. And I said, see, now I'm having ice cream too. I love him. Mm-hmm. Men, be the cheerleader, not the coach.
Boy, a message to husbands everywhere. Message sent, Caleb. I mean, I message received here. I don't know about this husband. I don't know about you.
Now I kind of want some beans.
I want more ice cream.
Well, I did not see the funeral for George Floyd yesterday. I understand that was going at what, Houston?
Yeah, it was in Texas. I think it was Houston. Yeah, Houston or Dallas. I think Houston. Yeah.
I noted that Daniel Harrell is the new editor-in-chief of Christianity Today magazine, and he is from the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a piece up yesterday, What Happens Now? It's short, not even a full com. He just said, I showed up to march last week with area Minneapolis clergy of all races, led by our area black pastors clad in our masks, to the site where Floyd was killed by a former police officer. And the editor of Christianity Today says, only the heartless were unaffected by the officer's knee to Floyd's neck. By contrast, the hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors gathered at the same spot bent our own knees in prayer. We first prayed the Lord's Prayer and then offered amens as others lifted their laments and cries for justice and righteousness to roll like a river.
Mm.
And it's been interesting. I had a post on Facebook from earlier in the week that, in fact, at that site, it seems like revival's been breaking out. I don't know, earlier in the week, but Pat Wall's wife, Anita, had first posted it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been inviting people to come at 4 o'clock for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 6 o'clock, and our friend True Serva.
Yeah.
Has been one of those singing.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it's been quite a time that's broken out. So we just never know, right?
Right.
In terms of when the sky is darkest, the Lord may be up to, he uses, he works even in the midst of evil. Was what I wanted to say. And my kids have heard me say many times that the most evil act that ever occurred was the crucifixion of Christ. And what did God bring from that?
Right.
Every person's
Absolutely.
Salvation,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, again, pray for Minneapolis and our country during these difficult and challenging times.
Right, yeah. And just it's ongoing. And, it'll be interesting to see where this all heads and goes. And I think the core of this is love. I mean, we need to love each other. And that's, to me, the big takeaway. We all need to have compassion and love.
And on the police end of things, I mean, everything from Minneapolis, and we reported earlier in the week talking about moving towards dismantling the police, mm-hmm. whatever they mean by that. It's interesting because I heard their head of their city council talking about Camden, New Jersey. And so mm-hmm. they've reformed it. They actually let all their officers go and then yep. rehired them with a different focus.
Right.
But whether it's that or whether it's reform or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. it seems like there is intentions to move ahead differently. Even President Trump said in a kinder, gentler way.
Yeah. So, yes.
Anyhow, we can hope for that.
Well, there's a blog called The Art of Manliness. I do not ghostwrite that. I'm just glad that I have a toolbox and know where it's located. But they asked their readers to come up with a list of smells
oh.
that these manly man readers thought were manly, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I'm there.
Yeah, we'll see again. All three of us can weigh in on these.
Yeah.
All right.
Manly smells. The hardware store.
Definitely manly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I would say like the one by aisle when you're going into a home improvement store, that smell of pine.
Mm.
To me, well, that's just a good smell. I don't know if it's a manly smell.
Well, number two is a different direction. Shoe polish.
Oh, I can see that. It's not a smell that you recognize all that much anymore these days. You know who, though?
It's nostalgic for me.
My husband polishes shoes. Oh. And
my dad did that, yeah.
I love that he does that because I'll hand him my black shoes and just be like, can you shine these up for me? So like when I was running for school board and we had our community forum, yeah, that was one of his acts of love is he's like, hey, give me your shoes. I'm going to, yeah.
I was there that night and several of us commented on how
right,
shiny your shoes were. That was pre-COVID back when we talked about things like that. So.
From the Art of Manliness blog, what they think are manly smells, according to their readers, freshly cut grass.
Mm-hmm. I just
love that smell. I don't know if it's manly or not, but man.
Yeah. And there's just a feeling of pride after you cut the grass
yes.
and just
mm-hmm.
looking at
Fridays
it.
Fridays is when I do it. I've never loved my yard more than right after I mow.
My mom's listening to the live stream at wib.com. Mom, you always said the grass looks so good after I cut it as a kid. I remember it all these years. So.
Yes. Sawdust, definitely a manly. And you know what's even more manly than that? Sawdust mixed with that kind of exhaust smell from running the chainsaw. When my husband comes in from cutting wood, he smells very manly. A little sweat in there, too. Uh-huh. It's all good.
All right.
Yeah.
Shower up, Dean. All right. Also, where are we at? Gunpowder.
I didn't know it had a smell, but all
it's
right.
on the list.
Again, the Art of Manliness blog readers said these are manly smells. Here, I get this one. Original Old Spice.
That always reminds me. It takes me back to my childhood. Yeah.
I really enjoy the smell of Old Spice and the kind of the original or the pure sport.
Yes. Huh? So here's an interesting one. Campfire. Now, I have to say, we had some firewood, and then we ended up attaining some cherry wood. Okay, so wood from a cherry tree. Oh, that made the best smelling firewood. And my husband had always complained about our other firewood and saying it smelled bad. And I was like, it smells like smoke. So we were burning all this cherry in our fire pit. And then he throws on a couple sticks of the old stuff. It smelled like nasty feet.
Wow.
I'm like,
that is not on the list, but it could be.
Despise, you'd go as a teen, it's like, oh, there's bonfires, whatever. Yeah. I despise the way my jacket would smell after going to a bonfire. The bonfire was great.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow. I smell like Joe Camel for a week.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's on the list. Pipe smoke is on the list. It's interesting because without seeing it, I wondered if that would be. Now, again, you don't see that very much at
all. Not anymore.
But when you think about old school. So.
Absolutely old
again,
school.
Again, this manliness blog says these are manly smells. Some of them are just good smells. You be the judge. Leather.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Grandpa's chair. So especially Grandpa's leather chair. Grandpa's
there you go.
Leather chair.
I just can't get over guns. Gun cleaning solvent.
Gunpowder and gun cleaning solvent. I don't love that smell, but I smell it quite a bit at my brother's house because he takes very, very good care
of his firearms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charcoal.
Yes.
And bowling alleys. Uh-huh. I'm not as sure about the bowling alleys.
I feel like the bowling alleys and the smoke and all of that.
Yes, the feet.
Kind of go together.
Speaking of feet.
All of these, this is what we think of men. Oh, interesting.
There's not like rose hip or lavender or...
How about like the ballpark? I went to a lot of Brewers games at County Stadium as a kid. I mean, going to the ballpark.
Sure.
Or my dad and I would go to games at maybe the arena, Milwaukee Arena, or something like that. So, anyhow. I don't know what the smell is that goes with that.
No one mentioned locker room or like sweat.
Exactly. No.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.